hair still wet?
I shower almost every day.
Okay, I think we're recording.
About 4 days a week.
Yeah, I was going to say, you and Skylar have a different plan.
Four out of seven.
I have to remind you both to
shower. I'm batting over 500. Ted Williams only batted 400.
I'm batting 100%.
Okay. Somebody said something via chat.
All right.
Oh, where's the chat? Oh, no, nobody said anything. I want to say hi to Millie and to Liz. Angie, is that right? AMC McGuire. Is that Angie? Hi, Angie. Lindsay, Jennifer, Sean, Kristen, Kimmy, Karen, Anna. Wow, everybody's jumping
Allison.
On.
Yep.
Allison and Allison. So thank you, everybody. We're going to start out with a question. Actually, I'm going to start out with my thing. So I think everybody has done this before, but in case you're new, raise your hand by clicking in your box, and there should be a hand that goes up.
If you need, raise your hand if you need
to. If you need to. Or you can click on chat, and we can chat it up. Those are two ways. So we have a question. I don't want to say who it's from because I don't know. And then I want to, while we're answering this question, I want to invite you all to come up with your own question, your own challenge, your own struggle, your own gratitude, your own blah, blah, blah. Are you with me? You're with me. So here's the question. You ready? You haven't seen this.
No, I have not. Go, go.
This is a drum roll. You want me to start now?
Please, I'm ready. We're recording.
So my question is about kids being themselves around peers. This week we had only one child for a week, our 9-year-old son. His three sisters were visiting with family over the school vacation week. He couldn't go because of hockey commitments. He had a friend over who's 11. So the son is 9 and his friend is 11. While they were playing, he was acting very different from his usual demeanor. General rules of the house were not followed. Dun, 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 dun. Mm-hmm. And he usually does not have a hard time with this. I'm not talking about the general excitement that company usually brings out in kids. It was different. It seemed like he was really bending to peer pressure. Honestly, I was surprised with him. Mm-hmm. I talked with him afterwards and let him know that I saw a change in his behavior. Asked him questions. I'm looking for thoughts and suggestions. Let me start.
Oh, I have an answer. Ooh.
Ooh. So
you go first.
Completely normal. This is completely normal. Our daughters, who we love, who we think are great kids, do the exact same thing.
Sure. Humans do.
I do the exact same thing. When I'm at work, I bend towards the work environment. Mm-hmm. As much as I'd be like, no, I'm Todd, and I'm just the same person in every situation, that would be a blatant, it'd be a bald-faced lie is what that would be. So I love this woman's question. I think it's valuable, but I also think that, like, yeah, it's normal. And, like, she brought it up, but I guess how you bring it up would be the most important. So now I'll turn it over to you, my darling.
So that's what I was going to say, is that it doesn't mean it doesn't necessitate a conversation. It's not about, oh, that's normal, I'm just going to let him break rules when different friends are over here. What it is not going for the shame factor. It's not going, I kind of think about that as being the jugular, like saying, oh my gosh, who were you when that person was here? Or why would you do that? Or I'm so surprised at you, or I'm so disappointed in you. Instead, it's a, when the other kid leaves, and maybe he leaves early because the good choices are not being made, to say, all right, let's sit down. Okay, tell me about what just all happened. Because normally, the rules of the house, you don't struggle with, but this time you did. So tell me what's different, and allow him to share with you. And he may say, I don't know. Or he may, I'm not saying he's going to have completely coherent thoughts about it yet. He may need some time, and you may say, let's talk about it tomorrow, or let's talk about it later. But then let him know the things that happened. I understand that he's an older friend, and you probably feel that pressure. And it's funny because when I was, and I'm talking about me, literally, I'm coming out of that story, and I'm saying, when I was in fifth grade, my best friend in the neighborhood was in seventh grade. And as we got older, obviously she was doing things that were not normal to me. And I remember having to make some of those decisions, and sometimes I made not a great decision, and sometimes I went home early, you know. But this is the, I'm going to use the word struggle, that kids have, like, where they're trying to figure out, who am I, especially at 9, who do I want to be, what's most important, and observing him in that struggle is a wonderful opportunity for connection and a conversation rather than a, who are you? I don't even know you anymore. You keep advocating, you stay on their side and still acknowledge it wasn't okay. Does that feel right? Like, I think sometimes we get so personally offended. Again, you guys, you know, we say these same things. It's the same thing. We get so offended that we forget about where our kid is in their development and that that's what they do. And guess what? He'll do it at 10 and he'll probably do it at 11. Maybe he'll skip 12, maybe not. And then he'll do it at 13 and then they'll do it at 20. And when I say do it, what I mean is they'll try on new behaviors and they will try on new people. And that's what they're supposed to be doing. You are kind of standing behind it, acknowledging what's happening, maybe pointing things out, recognizing it, being a support system and offering your perspective. But to jump on them and say, who are you? I'm so disappointed. You need to be the person you were yesterday. It's not realistic. I mean, it's not even about not being nice. They need to, I wrote something about this when my kids were really little. I can't remember which book it's in, but the first time that I watched JC and Cameron play, and JC wanted to be the witch and she wanted to be the bad person in the story. And I remember being like, initially like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with my kid? Why does she want to be the villain? And she wanted to be that villain for a while. Like, she's like, I'm going to be the witch. And it was bothersome initially. And then as I worked through it myself, kids need to try on all sorts of characters.
It's more fun to play the witch anyways. Who wants to play the nice guy?
Well, but as a parent, can't you see parents being like, why would you want to be the witch? What's wrong with you?
For sure.
And really it's in play or in a safe environment like your home, they get to try on these different, I don't like to call them masks. What's the word?
Roles.
Personalities. And you get to be there watching and then have a conversation later about it to help them process through it and make some decisions. They're going to make the decisions. You're not going to tell them who to be. And then as they get older, they will have that experience of walking in a situation, not feeling like themselves and saying, oh, I did that thing I used to do when I was little and my mom and I used to talk about it, you know, or my dad and I used to talk about it. So, I mean, I'm making this sound more simple.
Well, and there's a limit too. Like if the kid's, whatever, kicking the dog mm-hmm. because his friend's kicking the
right,
dog.
Right, right.
So
it's time for friend to go home.
Yeah.
If people are being hurt, if property is being damaged.
And why would you kick a dog?
Especially when they're down.
What if it's a dog is big? What if it's a coyote?
Right. Yeah. We had a coyote once in our front yard. We actually have coyotes all over Elmhurst.
We used to have them once a year, and now it's like every week we see them.
Yeah, we were coming home the other night, and there were just two coyotes just hanging out in the front, and they weren't scared of us.
No.
They're just kind of like, hey. And
they're just chilling like a villain.
They are, but they're not a villain.
No, they're just trying to eat squirrels.
They are lost because people in the Midwest and everywhere else keep building on places they used to wander. Mm-hmm. So they're like wandering going, hey, I used to like hang out here and now there's houses here. So I don't blame them, even though I don't really, it's not that safe to have them around. Okay.
All right, I'm going to unmute Karen. Karen, are you there?
Ooh, I'm going to turn off my,
I don't know.
Yes, you are there. Yes. Can hear you loud and clear.
Wait, come back, Karen. Where'd you go?
You
hold on. Nope. Yeah,
yes, we can hear you. Hold on. Kathy's clicking buttons.
Yeah, and you went away, but look over there. Yeah, you can start, honey. I'm just getting mine geared up here.
All right. Go ahead, Karen.
We're back. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I posted on the Zen page, I think it was last week, maybe the week before, about my daughter at school. And she, what happened was she got in, apparently a bunch of kids were talking at school, and they had a substitute. And they got warned about talking, and they got warned about talking again. And then they started passing out these think forms because they got in trouble. And she's like I know everybody thinks their kids are really good, but she's really good. Like, she's never in trouble in school.
Right.
So she ended up apparently going up to the substitute and advocating for herself, saying, I actually wasn't talking. It was my friend talking to me, and I was trying to ignore him. And then she told me later she got upset, and the teacher sent her to the bathroom to, like, collect herself. Mm. So she came home, and I didn't even hear this from her. I heard this from a friend. I heard this from the little boy she was talking to, his mom, and she didn't want to tell me. So I was just like, I'm just trying to get more information. You're not in trouble. And if you're getting in trouble for talking, I don't care, even though I was trying not to use that language, but I was trying to like blow it off, like not a big deal. It doesn't matter, you know? And I guess my question is, I understand, I was talking to Lindsay about this last week. I understand there needs to be some sort of like group management system. I was a teacher. I get it.
Right.
But unfortunately, it seems to be target, like she is so upset when it happens to her. Now, it only happened one other time in first grade, but she was so upset. She cried for like 6 hours.
Yes.
And put herself to bed. So like, I just looking for ways to kind of tell her it's not a big, like, you do a great job in school all the time. It's not a big deal. And I mean, I wasn't even really upset with the school. I understand how the school piece works. I'm just trying to look for ways to help her cope better.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Karen, a quick qualifying question. How old is your daughter?
9. Sorry.
She's 9. And is she kind of a perfectionist or no?
Yes and no. She is a very, very good student. And I hear from her teacher that she's just amazing. Like, she always is, like, just saying she's great at school. And most importantly, she's such a good friend. Hmm. So.
That's nice.
In my opinion, she's great. And I told her teacher what happened because her teacher didn't know about what happened in health class. And she said, I'm going to tell her 100 times how much I love having her in my class today because I don't want her to feel bad about coming to school. Like, so she was awesome.
Okay, I'm gonna mute you. I'm going to say my 2 cents, and then Kathy's going to come in, and she's going to drop the hammer. So one is, I think I was kind of a good student, and I didn't get into a lot of trouble. And I remember when I did get in trouble, I'd be like, whoa, 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 wait a second. I don't get in trouble. Like, there's something wrong here. Whether or not I was falsely accused, which it sounds like happened with Karen's daughter, or whether it was right. So I can empathize with this young girl's situation.
Experience, yeah.
But I also think that this is a teachable moment. Like, hey man, sometimes this is part of life.
Shit goes down.
Yeah, stuff happens. And at the same time, remind her that her value, her innate value, is not predicated upon whether or not she's the most dutiful person in school or she's the biggest troublemaker in school. Like, her value is based upon just who she is, not upon what she does, because she is going to screw up because that's what human beings do. And she's also going to make a lot of good decisions and not to be so devastated. But I feel like that's not the best advice because, like, you're telling her not to feel a certain way.
Well, and I agree with Todd, but let me, here's the language that might be helpful, is that most likely your daughter, her identity at this point has been based on her studentship and how she does in school. And we have a daughter whose identity has been primarily based on studentship. So, and when I say that, that's not a bad thing. It's not a good thing. It just is, like Todd said, she's a kid who goes to school, who loves school. All the teachers love her. She doesn't get in trouble. So her identity is being formed around that, which happens. Some kids' identity is formed around soccer, and some is formed around peer groups, and some is formed around dance. You know, it's different for every kid. And this is just initially. And so when something happens that is a blow to that identity, it hurts more than anything else. Because, like, you could probably tell me a story, Karen, where she has gotten in trouble for something else, like maybe, you know, an activity or an athletic thing, and she hasn't cared that much. That's because her identity isn't wrapped up in it.
Right.
But because her identity is wrapped up in school, getting in trouble in school is like a blow to the soul. And so that's kind of, you know, I have witnessed that myself with my own daughter, because she will come home and say things similar to your daughter, like how all the teachers love her, you know, and even things that I'm like, that's not appropriate. She just told me the other day that a teacher told her that she was her favorite. I'm like, ah! And I even said to her, I'm like, that's lovely, because she's trying to say she likes you, but you know, all students are important to this teacher. You know, I kind of had to like pull that back a little bit. Like, I don't want you to get too identified with teachers needing you to be the one. you know, because you're not always going to be. And I say it in a way where I'm trying to acknowledge that studentship, it's amazing that studentship has become a part of her identity, meaning that that's, it's beautiful and I love it. And to Todd's point though, at the same time, acknowledging that and saying that's why it hurts more when something goes wrong in that area, and then they can understand why that's such a blow to their body. And then acknowledging that it's a good practice that even though this hurts and you do feel like crying for 6 hours, it's a good practice in recognizing, going back to what Todd said, that this is not your entire value, that this stuff happens. You can still go back to school and be that student and be that person. It's not like you have to change, but when things happen, who you really are and your grounding and your footing is just based in you being born.
And maybe tell a story about your own childhood, like yeah, something that might be relatable. So I'm going to unmute Karen just to see if she has any follow-ups. Any follow-ups, Karen?
No, that's great. And I think she's come a long way considering how upset she was a couple years ago. She actually pulled herself back together and her teacher didn't even notice. So, but I, you know, I was, that's, you gave me some good language to use with her instead of being like, doesn't matter, you know,
but, right, because it does matter. And that's because that's always,
because no, it matters. That's what my husband was saying. I said, but it matters to her. Like,
and focus on that progress, or maybe not, but one idea is like, it used to like devastate her and now she's kind of coming through it saying you're getting more mature, you're getting older. That's awesome.
You're handling this so much better, and not even like so much better, because that can sound condescending, but the way you handled this was impressive to me, because mm-hmm, that was a hard situation. And I know that you, your student, you know, being a student is so important to you. And the fact that you handled that kind of misunderstanding and not being seen, that's brave.
Here we go. Kristen, you're up, but first, are you from Colorado?
Can't hear.
I can't hear you, Kristen.
I think I can. Now we can.
Okay. Okay. I'm trying to block out the Dora the Explorer.
So. I was just in Colorado, the fine state. Where are you from?
It is. I live in Littleton.
Littleton.
Yeah.
Littleton. No, you know Littleton.
No, well.
There was actually a school shooting in Littleton, wasn't there, Kristen?
Yes, there was. We live like 2 miles from Columbine.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Okay, so let's not go there right now. Yep. Let's stick with Kristen.
Yeah. That's why I know Littleton.
Okay.
Okay, so what do you got?
So I've got three daughters. The oldest two are actually, their birthdays are this weekend. So that is why I cannot come to the conference. Every year you guys have it the same weekend.
But next year it's March 8th and 9th.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. That's a maybe then. All right. Cool. So they will be 6 and 8, and then my other daughter is 2. And my middle child, I have a hard time connecting with her. And I'm trying so hard, and I'm trying it from all these different ways around it. I'm trying, you know, I'm trying to take her on.
Kristen went away. She'll come back. It's just Zoom stuff.
So Kristen, I don't know if you could hear us, but we lost you right after you said you're trying really hard. So we're going to, if you could type it.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Go ahead and type it, because Jennifer's our backup. So Kristen.
Oh, wait, is she back? No.
No. So we're going to mute Kristen.
Okay.
Hopefully her signal comes through better.
Okay.
We're going to move over to Jennifer. Hello, Jennifer.
Hey, guys. I wanted to respond to the previous discussion, and then I have a question, but is she back?
She's back.
She's back.
Hang tough,
hold
Jennifer.
On, hold on, Jennifer. You're back.
Okay, all right. So we're just having a hard time connecting, and gosh, you know, do you guys watch This Is Us?
Us, we're not caught up.
I do.
But we're in.
Yeah. Well, I could just see, I was watching the other day, and I know it's every parent's fear, but, you know, the relationship between the mom and Kate when she's a teenager. Oh, man, she's only
And it's like, I can see her when she's 17 and it scares the crap out of me because I feel like, you know, I'm laying it all down now for later. And I know I'm trying to be present and not freak out about the future, but I want it to be better now. And I don't know how to get there. She did say something to me.
Shoot.
She's stuck. She's in mid-sentence.
I know.
So here's the deal. We're going to go back over to Jennifer.
Well, no. No, we're not. I think no. I'm going to try and answer this a little bit, even though she's not done.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. So I'm going to mute her.
So, Kristen, you're probably coming back on, but I'm going to kind of answer it even without all the details. And you can maybe chat the details to us. I want to say this. So... your middle daughter right now, your relationship with her is more challenging because she's different than you and you don't understand her the way you do the other girls or were they all three girls?
Three daughters, 8 and 2. And this is a 6-year-old.
And of course, there's nothing to be ashamed about that. That's completely normal because that's just the way things are. Sometimes we're more like or more understanding of someone who's more similar to us or someone who's more accommodating to our differences. And sometimes in the family, there's a personality that we don't innately understand them as well. It takes more work and more creativity to reach them and connect with them. And that is okay. Like, I think sometimes we feel bad about that. Like, I should be better. I should be doing something better. And really, what I think is kind of beautiful is the recognition that we don't think the exact same way as that child. So we are willing to do extra work or go out of our comfort zone to make sure that that connection is key. Because like TV and This Is Us and, you know, other shows about, you know, these kind of experiences, I think they often demonstrate what was the unspoken thing, what was not addressed. And how it kept trying to be managed on the surface. Why are you mad at me? I didn't do anything. I'm trying to show up. I'm taking you to Disney World. You know, it's the surfacey stuff. And not going to the core of, tell me how I can support you. I noticed you're angry with me. And it's okay to be angry. Let's talk about that. Like, what? Or I notice that you get really angry. It doesn't even matter. Or sad. And go to the core of why. Don't be afraid to ask those questions, or don't be afraid to say something like, these things you're interested in, I don't understand them, but I'm going to learn about them because you're important to me and I want to know more. And I know Todd will have something to say about
yes, this. Because I have struggled with this with each of my daughters, but I would be lying if certain daughters sometimes during a certain phase, I feel like I'm completely disconnected with them, no matter how hard I try. So a few different resources that we talk about often, but it's worth repeating, is love languages. Mm-hmm. It's possible you're trying to connect with her in words or quality time when maybe she wants an ice cream cone, or maybe she wants a foot rub, or maybe she wants you to read her a book, or vice versa. Maybe it's flip-flop. Maybe you're trying to do these things, but those don't work. So get resourceful, try different things.
And literally people will say, well, how do I figure that out? Ask her.
Yeah.
Like really say, what are the ways that you feel me loving you? Is it when I talk to you? Is it when we are alone together? Like sometimes we try and beat around the bush, just go there. So.
And then the other thing is to parent from the present moment, because thank you to Kristen for being honest. But she's worried about what's going to happen when her 6-year-old is 16.
Well, but she also said, I know I'm trying to be present, but I think that fear is motivating her to ask the question.
Right. So maybe that fear is serving her because it's pushing her in a certain mm-hmm. direction. So I don't know. I don't know if that helped her or not.
Well, and again, I like what you said about love languages. And I think like I said, the bottom line is every reality show, every TV show, every movie where a mother and daughter come back together. Like, for example, Lady Bird. Okay, I don't know if you guys saw Lady Bird. what happened in that movie? How many of you guys saw Lady Bird? Raise your hand just so I can see. A few of you, not a lot, but it's a mother-daughter movie. And it's not antagonist-protagonist. They both are flawed, and they're both amazing. But what happens in that movie is they don't talk about what the real issue is. And what the real issue is the mom is afraid. She's afraid of what will happen to her daughter. And what the real issue is with her daughter is saying to her mom, I want to be my own person. You know, and she has to scream it in other ways, like, I'm going to change my name, I'm going to change my hair color, instead of saying, Mom, you're suffocating me. And while she is saying that, she is communicating that, but the mom is afraid. And they don't, that's why they struggle. It's not because the mom said this and, you know, Lady Bird did this. It's because they don't get to the core of the issue. And that takes a lot of bravery as for us as parents is to allow ourselves to be vulnerable enough to ask a question of, I'm not sure how to do this. And, you know, it's funny. I used this quote this morning on the podcast we just taped, but one of Cheryl Strayed's famous quotes is, you have to be brave enough to break your own heart. Meaning you may ask a question and they may say something that's hard to hear, but you have to be willing to sit in it, because if it's the truth, it's the truth.
Instead of telling the person why they're wrong, or instead shaming yourself for being a bad person.
Correct. You have, and that's the heart. Vulnerability is about being willing to hear what is difficult, to ask what is scary, and to sit in that conversation with as the least amount of defensiveness as you can. And this is not just with our children. It doesn't matter how old they are. I mean, a three-year-old who's hitting you, it can be like, what am I not seeing? Or tell me, because a lot of times it's things you don't want to hear about. Little kids will say things like, you're on the phone all the time, or you're always working. And then instead of hearing that, we'll say, well, that's how we put food on the table. And they don't understand that. They don't know what money means. They don't know that you have to work for this and that. What they need to know is they're important and that they're seen. And it's the same with, you know, some of the things that I asked Todd, you know.
So there was a time when I wasn't connecting with one of my daughters, and the only, literally only thing I was doing was playing Uno with her before bed and going to Chipotle for dinner. That was it. And I'm like, no, but I'm supposed to walk in the park with her, and I'm supposed to have these heart-to-heart, deep conversations about all these things she's challenged by because she's in middle school. And none of those things were available. The only things that were available were Uno and Chipotle. And Kathy said, isn't that enough?
And not only that, but because, and again, I'll say this part to Kristen too, because I have pointed this out to Todd, because Todd had created a story in his head that it's easy to connect with these two, harder to connect with this one. He missed it when she was connecting with him.
Right.
She would come up and put her arms around him and hug him and do all that. And she wasn't even, I would say, did you just watch what she did? And he'd be all lost in his head, like, I wish I could connect with her better. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, dude, she is all over you.
Right.
What are you missing? Like, she is connected to you. You just want it to look different. So Kristen, also that we got to be careful of the story that this child and I don't connect, because maybe at the end of that sentence, say today or now or in this moment. So that doesn't become the story of your lives. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, there was a podcast that we did. I don't know if you can remember this, sweetie, but it was a Father's Day thing, and all I wanted was a happy Father's Day.
Right, I remember.
And I didn't get it, and I was mad, and I sat on the front porch right over there for like an hour, because they were leaving for the weekend. They went to camp for a week, and it was a really hard podcast and moment of my parenting, because I didn't want gifts. I just wanted them to acknowledge it was Father's Day.
Right, he wanted to be seen.
And I wasn't seen, and I was mad.
Yeah.
But we kind of like,
we unraveled it.
And I don't remember what I learned, but it was really good.
Wow, that's super helpful, everybody.
I'm trying to find it right now.
It was, I remember, he's pointing outside because I remember sitting out there and us discussing it, and he wanted it to look a certain way, and he had a dream about this is what my children should do for Father's Day, and he missed that they gave him a big hug before they left. He missed that his children were going off to be independent at camp. He missed that his value as a father was, we were acknowledging it by just watching our children be independent people.
Yeah.
Him, his value as a father was in front of us.
Yeah.
But he needed a card. and again, I'm not shaming him. We're already past it, so I can say that bluntly. He wanted it to look a certain way.
If I find it, I'll put it in the show notes because it was a really kind of it was a tough one for me. So anyways.
Okay, back to Jennifer.
Going over to Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. So I'll just respond real quick to Kristen and Karen. Karen, what's interesting is my son used to be the exact same way when he was 9. He's now 15 and a freshman in high school. And he came home the other day and he told me he got lunch detention. And he was very nonchalant about it. And of course, I was like, what? You got lunch detention? And I'm trying to be calm about it. But the funny part of the story is that as upset as he was when he was 9 about getting in trouble, he wasn't happy that he got in trouble, but he was able to deal with it a lot better. So I think just like maturity and age really does help kids because he, you know, there's kind of like a cool factor to getting in trouble and getting a lunch detention. There's all these different things, but just to say to you that the kind of concern I had when he was 9 was the same as yours, and he is. He deals with it much, much better now. And then Kristen, I just want to say I have a son who I feel the same way about. We've talked about him before. He's very angry a lot. And my other two boys, I have a really strong connection with, and I feel bad because I feel like it's my fault that I don't have the better connection with Andrew. But I'm trying to not beat up on myself so much about it, which kind of leads me to the question I had. So it kind of relates to both of your issues that how do you as a parent, and I guess I'm looking for a practical tip and it probably doesn't fit into a box like this, but if we're all trying really hard to do the right thing with our kids and then our kids get older and they are away from us more than they're with us, and they're out making choices that we might not necessarily agree with. I guess my question is, how do you separate your knowledge from saying like, okay, I know that I did the best I could to lay the foundation for him, but when he does do something wrong, like there's been a couple risk-taking, I shouldn't say wrong, there's a couple risk-taking behaviors that he's done recently, and they're not like, you know, earth-shattering, but things like, oh my gosh, I can't believe my kid is doing that. But I say to him, I'm always like, listen, Nicholas, I believe in you. Like, I believe that you will figure out this life. I believe that you will figure out what's right for you. And I say, I know you're going to make mistakes, and that's okay too. And what he does talk to me about it. But there's this part of me that feels like, as a mom, when these things are happening, that I did something wrong. Because if I had only laid the foundation better, if I had only done this, then maybe this wouldn't happen. So I guess my question is, do you have any tips for when you go to that place? You know, it's like, it's kids make mistakes, even if you're the greatest parent in the world. But I think for all of us, we think like, oh, but if we'd only done this, then this wouldn't have happened. Yeah. So does that make sense?
Yeah, I get you. I'm going to mute you. And then here we go. So it sounds, yeah, me first, always me first.
Oh, always?
Well, not always, but right now.
All right.
So sounds like it's a little bit of motherhood guilt that we hear
keep
so
talking.
Much about.
I'm just getting a minute.
And it sounds like, I don't know, Jennifer, if you've read The Untethered Soul, but the first two chapters of The Untethered Soul talks about the inner voice or the voice inside your head. And there's, what I learned from that book is that there's some strength in the disidentification of the inner voice from who you are. So when your inner voice says, well, not my kid, or I should have done this, or I should have done that, that is not the that is not who you are. Who you are is the love, the essence, the soul, and all that. And you could just say, okay, I hear you, inner voice, but I know that you're not me. That the first chapter is called the inner voice, or the voice inside your head. The second chapter is your inner roommate. And when our inner roommate tells us things that are not true, like you're not a good mom, or you're not a good dad, or your kid's going to turn out this way or that way, it's one of those things. Like if you had an actual physical roommate living with you, telling you those things, you would put your hand up and say,
you're not helping.
You're not helping me. But because it comes from inside our brain, it doesn't, we think that it has more value than
we
it
react
does.
To it.
So that's my two cents.
I love that.
Thank you.
I love what Todd just said. And I also think that, and Jennifer, I'm saying this to you, to me, to everybody, not just your situation, but that's not just about parenting. That is sometimes a belief that we have more control over things than we do. I would bet if you looked at other aspects of your life, not just parenting, but things maybe going on in the world or in partnership or in work or in volunteering, you would find little bits of that too. Because again, that's an overall overarching belief system. And the reason I'm feeling this as you say that is because I've had to deal with that myself, like where I really believe that there are things that because I did this, that, or the other, this should be controlled. It's a control, and we're not control freaks. We're not putting ourselves down. A criticism. In parenting, it just is exacerbated, this control thing, where we think, we had this talk, you know, I did this, but they're doing this. And so if I would have done it better or said it this way, then I could have had more control over this. And you can't. I don't know if this is just kind of made me laugh the other day. I think it was in People magazine. Lionel Richie, who's become a big part of my life lately.
Hello.
I've been listening
is
to him a lot.
Is it me you're looking for?
It's pretty good, Todd. That was pretty good.
Thank you.
His youngest daughter, who is 19, her name's Sophia Richie. She's dating Scott Disick, who used to be married to Kourtney Kardashian. Okay, I know you guys are like, who the hell cares? But everyone's like, of course.
Now it's good.
So I don't even watch the Kardashians. I just know too much pop culture because I just notice everything that's happening. So she's 19 and he's 34. Okay. So the question posed to Lionel Richie was, how you doing? You know, cause this is like, they go out together and they're, you know, in the beach together and paparazzied up. And he said, you know, and now mind you, this is his youngest daughter. So he went through, you know, you guys remember Nicole Richie's thing with Paris Hilton, maybe you don't, but he's had some, you know, he's watched his daughters do a lot of things. And he said, you know, I just grab a scotch and sit in the corner, let her know I love her, and I'm waiting. You know, he's like, I'm here when she's done. Mm, and good. I found that to be that's a mature fatherhood reaction.
Release control.
And I love that he said he grabbed a scotch and he sits in a corner.
It makes it more relatable.
It does, because he's saying, because again, Nicole Richie got in a ton of trouble, and this is his oldest daughter. And if you look at her now, you know, she's got a TV show. She has a family. She's been married now for 8 years. She had to go through things. It kind of goes back to the question before about taking on these different personas. Like your son is going to zig and zag and zag and zig, and it has nothing to do with you. His inner compass is still there, but he's not always going to listen to it.
No.
He's going to be like,
because we didn't either.
Right. He's got the inner compass. You did your job, mama. Like, you did it. But just because he's got it doesn't mean he's going to use it. But when he has a problem or maybe needs help or God forbid, and when I use this word crashes, I don't mean gets hurt physically. I mean, but maybe emotionally has a struggle. He can go back to that compass. But that's the thing, is the letting go enough to trust him in the process, and that we just can't control it, and I want to really bad.
Control. You must learn control. We did a podcast this morning and talked about Lionel Richie.
We did. I love him.
And now we're doing a Zen talk talking about Lionel Richie. Maybe Lionel Richie should be our guest at the conference. All
he
right.
He could come and sit with a scotch in the corner.
That's right. I try to like scotch. It's not my thing.
Oh, my God. Scotch is the worst. Whiskey is the worst.
Yeah.
Whatever. I mean, not for everybody.
Yeah. Just for you.
I don't like brown liquors.
What about Jägermeister?
Ugh.
It's the worst.
I don't even drink liquor. I don't even know what I'm talking about. I can't, like, I even the smell.
That's why vodka's good, because it doesn't have a smell.
I can have a vodka drink, no problem. Not
have a whiskey
chisel.
Drink, have a vodka drink. Have a drink.
Okay.
All right, Liz is next. Hi, Liz.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good, Liz.
All right, so this is kind of all connected, and now I'm kind of all confused because we've talked about so much that kind of my question was around, but it was more an observation of myself, and I'm just patting myself on the back. I wanted to thank you guys because I feel like it has something to do with all I've learned through being on Zen Talks and just listening to the podcast. But last night, I have a 17-year-old who is applying to colleges and scholarships. And of course, you know, it was my birthday yesterday. I'm not trying to get happy birthdays, but but it was my birthday. And so I kind of thought I was being selfish. It was like my day. And so 8:30 at night, I really wanted to watch The Crown with my husband. And I know. And she came in and she's like, so I need help. Really? And so we went into the kitchen to help her. And right off the bat, she looks at me. She's like, you have to leave. you don't want to help me. And I felt so small. She like made me feel so small so fast. And so I left the room and I was like, all right, let dad help, you know. And about 10 minutes later, I went back in and I you know, kind of helped her. Like I said, okay, this is what I can do in this piece of it or whatever. But it was just so funny because she just called me out immediately and I knew it. But yet in the past, I would have been so hurt and I would have gotten so upset and I would have, you know, I would have been much meaner to myself where I just said, look, I know why I'm feeling this way. And so I went back and told her. But anyway, so I just want to say thanks to you guys because it helps. It makes a difference that she needed something that I couldn't give her at that moment, but I was able to give it to her 10 minutes later when I was like, okay, get yourself together. Like, it's just your birthday.
And I will say this, Liz. First of all, I've told you a million times, Liz reminds me of Noreen, right?
Yes.
Doesn't she look like Noreen?
Noreen, is Liz going to the conference? Are you coming, Liz?
Oh, you get to meet Noreen.
You get
Yay!
To meet Noreen.
Because every time you talk, I'm like, she just reminds me so much of Noreen. Okay, so what I was going to say was, and I would feel the same way, like I'd feel small about it, but the truth is, me being an objective person listening to your story, you didn't do anything wrong, and she didn't do anything wrong. See, sometimes, and again, we talked about this day too, this dichotomy of who's right and who's wrong. You have every right on your birthday at 8:30 to not want to be doing college stuff. And you don't have to feel small about that. And what I love, and because your story really doesn't need any like advice given, it's more just like, what I love is she's like, Mom, you're totally not here with me. And that you were like, you're right, I'm not. And then even though you did feel small, because, you know, as parents, we want to be perfect and stuff. But the reason you came back is because you're like, it's okay, human being, that you didn't want to be bothered. Like, how many times I've said to my girls, like last night, Skylar came in for like the fifth hug, you know, like good night, fifth hug. And I'd already like given my all to the first four. So when she came in for the fifth one, I'm like, dude, I'm already half asleep. I'm already gone. You missed it. Done. We already had ours. Hold on to those. Like, I can't, you know, when we say we're doing our best, it doesn't mean we're slacking. It means that we're being human. And so you already answered your own question. I just think it's great that, you know, your daughter is starting to see you as a person. Like,
yeah,
you know, my mom, and maybe she can see that wasn't a great time to ask the question. She's not wrong for asking it, but she's going to start to recognize, when is a good time to ask people to help me? Is it 8:30 p.m. on their birthday? Maybe not. And that's good learning for her too. And so you're not wrong and she's not wrong.
And way not, good job not beating yourself up.
Yeah.
So there is a question that came in via the chat.
Okay.
And it says, what do you do when your 14-year-old daughter doesn't like your words?
Yeah.
For example, tools in the toolbox or breathe. She tells me to be real. She's a 14-year-old.
Yes.
And that is how, she says, so that's how I talk to everyone, including myself. I told her that, but she rolls her eyes. A 14-year-old that rolls her eyes.
Well,
shocking.
And I think that she is, even if that's the words we use, it sounds very, it's funny because this language, because I totally get it and I use it too. Obviously you guys listen to this show, so you know I do, but it does sound a little contrived. It does sound a little prescriptive and it does sound a little like, I have your all encompassing answer. Use your tools in your toolbox. It doesn't. And when she says it doesn't sound real, I don't disagree with her. Instead it's like what we were saying before about, this is this nuanced place of, yes, be yourself, but also respect, understand the relationship, and to be creative in a way that you can communicate with your kid where she doesn't feel that you're being constantly, what prescriptive isn't the right word, Todd? What's the word I'm looking for?
Formulaic?
Yeah, like where you're trying to throw a bunch of spiritual jargon at her. Like, if you guys went back, and I never do this, and so I don't know if this is true, but if you went back and listened to the show, like 6 years ago, I probably sounded really jargony, and maybe I still do and I'm unaware, you know, but I don't really like some of those words anymore. I think I still understand what they mean and I respect them, and I'm not saying they were wrong or that I was bad. What I'm saying is that what I have found as I've worked this self-awareness and mindfulness is regular terminology is better for me right now. Like, there's nothing wrong with saying breathe.
But tools in the toolbox and breathe, that's no problem.
Well, but tools in the toolbox is like what a therapist says to a client. That's, I learned that. I learned tools in a toolbox when I was working at Children's Memorial. Now, again, nothing wrong with it. So whoever asked this question, I'm not saying you're doing it wrong. What I'm saying is she's saying to you, I can't hear you with those words.
So then I would say be resourceful. So I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth here, by the way, because I just said, what's wrong with those words? If those words don't connect with your daughter, it's our job as parents to be able to get resourceful and try something different and use different ones. Or maybe you don't, you know, one thing is obviously to role model it by using the tools in your toolbox and by breathing and meditating as opposed to, and I'm not saying that the Team Zen person is doing this, but a lot of us, we talked about this, I think, a week or two ago. Like, we like to read a book and think about all these people in our lives that it's going
to
help.
Wow, my sister would love this book.
Right.
And really.
And it's so much easier to think, because I do the same thing. I'm like, oh my gosh. But it's really hard to practice what it is that you're learning in those books. Mm-hmm.
And just for an example, because, if this is a practical question, instead of saying tools in the toolbox, and mama who asked this, I assume it's a mom, you can still use it and use it with your friends or use it with clients or use it when you're writing or however you use it. You don't have to change personally. What your daughter is saying to you is, let's you and I communicate differently so I can hear you. And so instead of saying tools in the toolbox, it can be something very everyday. Like,
have you tried
blank? Yeah. What can I do to help you? Or did you try that thing that worked last week? Or is there something, do you have any ideas about? And so you just start to use your normal language. But you don't have to change it with other people.
Well, and language is so key.
Yeah.
It's not for me because I'm not a words person. That's not my love language. But words are huge to you, huge to you. And depending on which one you're using, it can mean
trigger
a lot of different things. And if, you know, I'm just making something up, like if I would tell my daughter, whenever she got mad, I'd say, go meditate or whatever, something like that. Of course, that's going to be triggering to them.
Right.
Like, oh, there's mom telling me again, or dad telling me again to do this or that. So,
because that, I think Todd's point is good. I think sometimes instead of being directive about, and again, I'll just use your language about use your tools in the toolbox, maybe instead give an example of what you've done. Not like, oh, here's the tool I use. Just, I felt the way you felt. Something that was helpful to me was blah, blah, blah. Or even better, just role model it.
Plus, she's 14.
Right. You're going to annoy her.
Yeah, you're going to annoy her. That's part of the. We talked about this on last week's podcast about the teenage brain. So if you haven't heard that, listen to that one. This is what's, I don't know if it's what's supposed to be happening, but that's what happens.
Well, and here's the in-between. Here's kind of the Zen parenting way of looking at this. Like, and I'm using that language because I don't like it. Again, I don't like dichotomy. I don't like when people say, oh, teenagers rebel, they're going to hate you, and then they'll love you again. There is a place in between. Yes, teenagers rebel. Yes, teenagers get annoyed at your words. Like, my children, in a lot of it, I don't change. Like, if, you know, I dance, I sing, I do whatever, and I'm not going to change those things. And sometimes I think they pretend they're annoyed, but they're not. Mm-hmm. I think they like it sometimes. But anyway, but the big but is it doesn't mean, yes, teenagers get annoyed, she's got to roll her eyes, but it doesn't mean that you then just say, drop the ball and say, well, that's just the way it is. You can actually utilize it as an opportunity to connect and hear her. And she may roll her eyes at you about something different later. And you can, like Todd said, you can understand that's normal, but you can still acknowledge that you're hearing her. I think that's the in-between, is it's not here or here, it's in here.
So we're 51 minutes in. There was one other question specific about the conference, and then we're going to shut it down because Kathy and I have a million things to do before Friday. There was a question on there about, so if you are not coming to the conference, you can go ahead and hang up or press pause or stop.
Or listen.
Or you can listen. But they're asking about how, is there an easy way for us to convene? So Kathy is doing a pre-conference workshop that many, but I don't think all, of the Team Zen people who are attending the conference are also going to the pre-conference workshop.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, you will see each other then. And you're going to be in the room about 2:30 anyways.
Yeah.
And then for anybody who is not going to the pre-conference workshop, I'm going to be at the restaurant that is in the hotel. You actually have to walk through this restaurant to get
to my workshop,
to our workshop. And I'm going to be in there just hanging out. So if that's you, or if you are going to the workshop, but your husband is just coming with, but he's not doing the workshop, I will be there and I want to kind of hang out with people from 3 to 5. And then at 5 o'clock, there's something called connecting and cocktails. So Kathy's going to be done at 5. And then
I gotta go get ready.
If you want, you could either go right to the conference.
It's rooms. Junior ballroom C. It doesn't matter. It's all going to be labeled, but there will be a room where people can hang out, have a drink, connect.
Connect. So those are kind of the options. I did send an email out to everybody that I thought was coming to the conference and created a document that I don't think people use, which is fine. So I don't really know. Aside from those two things.
Basically, because Todd and I are on the whole weekend, we can't structure it for you, meaning we can't be like, here's just us and Team Zen. What we're trying to do is create opportunities where you guys can all be at the same place at the same time, which is the cocktails and connecting. It's at, like Todd said, it starts at 5. The conference doesn't even start till 7.
Right. So if you want to go back to your hotel room and chill out, and
yeah, you can do
whatever
that.
You can. Uh-huh. Or if you want to make a beeline and hang out with, because I'll be there, as well as many other attendees, I'm sure will be in the room. So that's at 5 o'clock.
And how will you know someone's Team Zen? On your name tag, if you are coming, there is a ribbon that says Team Zen.
Yeah.
So everybody will know that you're Team Zen. So that's one way.
And I'll mention this. We're also doing a raffle. And so what's going to happen is the attendees are going to need to visit a certain amount of booths to qualify for the raffle. But I'm also putting, I think, Team Zen as part of the raffle, which means that attendees are going to have to get a signature from a Team Zen member to get
in the raffle.
To get in the raffle.
So people might be bugging you and saying, sign my sheet.
Yes. So, and you could sign your own sheet because we want you guys to be in the raffle too. And last thing is that there is somebody, I don't know if we have any other men on Team Zen other than Sean Emerson, who is
there is one more man on. He's just not.
But
on
he's
the call.
In with his wife, isn't he?
John, I think.
Yeah. So, anyways. Okay. So the bottom line is, Sean is helping us coordinate the activities, and he's been integral.
Yes, it's good.
Is integral a word?
It's a word.
So if anything is going wrong,
this
don't blame us.
Blame Sean.
Blame Sean, who's on this
Look
call
at him.
Right
he's
now.
Like, what?
He talks weird. He has a Boston accent. He's pretty much bald, and he's teaching yoga at 7 a.m. So that's my deal.
He's like, yep. No, really, Sean is he's on our team. It's just the people who do the conference are Todd and I, Sean, Craig, who you guys may have met last year, my friend Jessica, And actually my Aunt Peg, who's, I was on here, she helps us stuff all the bags. She's flying in on Thursday. So there's, obviously we have volunteers. I'm not saying that there aren't other people who help, but as far as preparation,
that's the focus.
That's who does it.
That's our main
team. So Sean is going to be there. He's part of Team Zen. And he's also, if you guys have any questions during the conference, this guy.
Sean, I'm unmuting you. Can you say hello to everybody?
Yeah. Thanks for embarrassing me. Hi, everyone.
Yeah,
so I'll be around the whole time, starting at basically around noon on Friday.
Yep.
So if you need anything, let me know.
Yes. And then Millie asked a question about the raffle. Yes, I did choose the raffle prizes. The bronze is a really nice diffuser of essential oils.
Yeah, because there's going to be a woman there selling essential oils.
So it's not the cheap $20 thing. It was like, nice, I think, $90. And then the silver is, I think, the AirPods.
Yeah.
So I got AirPods, which I love. And those are expensive. Those cost $160.
They don't care.
I know. I'm just telling you, they're better.
Thrifty, like, knows to the penny what they cost.
And then the gold prize is free registration for next year's conference.
That's the gold?
And the grand prize is a Roomba. So a Roomba.
Don't let the Roomba hit the poop.
Yes. Well, they don't know what you're talking
about. Yes, they do. It was on Team Zen.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
And we're going to, but here's the thing. We are going to bust it out of the box just so we can have the Roomba going around.
Yeah, it's
going to
be going around the room.
So you're going to win a slightly used Roomba. So anyways.
Or maybe we'll keep it and then give them another one.
Okay. No, it's too expensive.
But what if somebody from here who flies?
We're going to pack it up and send
we'll
it. You're so worried about shipping.
It's because it's a pain in the butt.
I know.
To do.
I know. We'll make Sean.
Guess
do
who
it
goes to the post office?
I would just do.
Sean. Does. That's who does.
I know.
And Millie says we can take home the energy and the dust. That's right.
Yes.
It'll be good energy.
Yes, it will be good energy.
So we got to go. We got plenty to do.
All right. Love you guys. We'll see it. For those of you coming, we'll see you in a few days.
Adios, muchachos.
All right. Bye-bye.